You are listening to Everywhere You Are, a podcast produced by the Dawson Women's Ministry. At Dawson, we recognize that women's ministry is not a class or a club you join. Ministry is not confined to the four walls of a church building, and it's not limited by life stages or circumstances. Rather, ministry is living a life of service everywhere you are. This podcast seeks to encourage you, everywhere you are, in the laundry room, driving carpool, at work, preparing a meal, or exercising. We believe God calls each of us to be ministers at all times in all places. Welcome to Everywhere You Are. In this episode, we hear from a college student who happens to be my daughter and a retired nurse. I think you'll notice that even with their age difference, they share many of the same feelings as we discuss the invitations of Jesus. Let's get started. Welcome to Everywhere You Are. I'm Rachel Langston, your host, and my co-host today is Kristen Torres. Our guests today are Marilyn Henry and Rains Langston. So let's start with you, Rains. Tell us where you are today.
Hi, my name is Rains. I'm a rising senior at Samford University studying human development and family science and looking to pursue a master's degree in social work.
All right, Marilyn, how about you?
I'm Marilyn Henry. I'm married to Jim as of last week for 44 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know it's much better in retirement, too, I might say. But we've been at Dawson. Both have been at Dawson for 50 years, probably 51. We figured out we came at the same time, but we actually joined around the same time. But we didn't meet till 2 years later when we met in the single adult department here at Dawson, which is now called DYP. And so we've been involved in a variety of things at Dawson. Jim's the scoutmaster of our Boy Scout troop. I teach four-year-old Sunday school for over 20 years, and I'm in the choir.
Wow. Y'all have been here a long time.
All right. That just means we're old.
So we're really excited that you're joining us. We are in a season of talking about invitations, the invitations of God. And as we think about our mission and our vision here at Dawson of becoming and helping others become faithful servants, we have the invitation from Jesus to rest, to come to me and rest. The second invitation, to follow me. What does this look like for you to follow? A picture of discipleship. And then the third invitation, abide in me, in Christ. You are moving and doing. So as you think about your own life, like right now, share about a time when you have felt led, maybe because of the restlessness that you're experiencing.
Well, last year was a unique year for Jim and me. We have been fairly healthy our entire life, mostly. And last year, in a matter of 7 months, I had three surgeries. They were all elective, fortunately. And in 4 weeks after the first hip replacement, Jim had a heart attack and had open heart surgery. So literally, I was at week four of recovering when we spent 7 days in the hospital. And so I was one of these people that never thought my husband could get sick, probably, because he has always been healthy. That's one of the things we try to do from an exercise standpoint, not so much from an eating standpoint, but we do try to be healthy. So at that time, I will say we were probably both a little restless. He, from the standpoint, am I going to make it through this? And me, to make sure I was supporting my husband, who had supported me through other illnesses and things like this, and it was the first time I found myself in that role. So I would say that, you know, we were restless, but we're both strong believers, so we were trusting in God's will, whatever that, you know, may be at the time. It was an interesting situation because I had retired from UAB after 25 years and had worked in the cardiovascular area for much of the time that I was at UAB, and that's where he was after his heart attack and open heart surgery. And it really had not crossed my mind that so many people, because I had been retired by then, for 10 years. So it did not cross my mind that there would still be that many people at UAB that I knew. And they came in by the droves to our room to the point that Jim would say, are you here to see me or are you here to see my wife? And most of them were here to see his wife. But it was just the care that they were able to provide and that the comfort that I was able to feel, even from the open heart surgeon. When I left UAB, I said to Dr. Davies, you know, if we're ever in need of an open heart surgeon, you're the one we're going to come to see, never really thinking that that would happen to him. And so I just look back, and I said this to Kristen earlier. At that point, it had been 34 years since I started at UAB because I'd been retired for 10 and worked there 25 years. And I said, only in God's providence could I go to work at a place never in my wildest dreams realizing where I was at that point. And many of the people that I worked with, that were my friends, were my colleagues, we have prayed for each other, and these are the same people that were there to take care of my husband. And only God could have planned that, because I don't think we often think about all of those details when we take a job or when we go to college somewhere, things that he puts in our lives.
Well, I am in a very different stage than Marilyn. I'm not retired.
You'll love it when you get there.
Like I said, I am a rising senior, so I feel like in college, rest is definitely a hot topic among college students, and everyone is trying to seek some sort of rest, whether they're aware of it or not, myself included. And I think one of the first instances that comes to mind when thinking about restlessness is the fall of last year, my junior year. I was working an internship about 10 hours a week. I had another job. My class schedule was keeping me very busy. Responsibilities within my sorority. And I just remember getting to a point where my calendar was just looking very full every single day. And I was going straight from my internship to campus for a meeting, or straight from my internship to my job, or working on homework. And it seemed like I was never actually in my apartment. Hadn't seen my roommates in days. And I remember a Saturday that I was actually home. It was like probably the first time in weeks that I was home on a Saturday morning. And one of my roommates walked into the kitchen and was like, I don't remember the last time I like saw you on a Saturday morning. And I know that she didn't mean it like, you're way too busy. It like wasn't in a confrontational sense at all, but I had a moment and I was just thinking like, wow, I have been so incredibly busy with all good things. But I feel like it was at that point that I realized like all of these things are becoming idols in a lot of ways. And I feel like as a college student, like busyness is one that just kind of sneaks up on you in a lot of ways. There's almost, this competition to see how full your calendar can get and how many things you can be involved in. And they can be all good things, but it's when those things become a source of pride that those like really start to eat away at your relationship with Christ. And so I remember having that moment and I was like, something has to change, something has to give. And honestly, like the rest of that semester wasn't any different. I mean, there's only so much you can do with all the responsibilities you have. I mean, you have to show up to class. You have to go to your internship and go to your job. But over Christmas break, I remember like sitting down at my desk at home and having a quiet time for the first time where I just sat there and really just let the Lord like speak to me, because I couldn't remember the last time I had just sat and not come to the Lord with like a prayer or a request, but actually just sat there in the stillness and let myself hear from him. I mean, the busyness of my semesters has not changed. That is something that I feel like is consistent in college, at least for me. Even right now, I have an internship, I have a job, and that will continue in the fall. All those responsibilities will continue and pick up even more, but I feel like something that I've really learned to practice this summer is just slowing down and practicing stillness with the Lord. something I realized is that it's something that we have to actively engage in. And that seems counterintuitive, that rest is something you have to choose. Like, the Lord is always willing to sit with you and is always willing to speak to you if you will just give him the space to do so. And that's very hard if you're not choosing to actively rest and sit with him. So
what does rest look like? Because I think it looks different for different people.
I think for me, I mean, it's, I feel like it's changed over the course of my walk with Christ. I mean, like I said, over the last few years being in school, with such a busy schedule, rest just looks like offering the space to the Lord, whether that's 10 minutes, whether that's 5 minutes, whether that's a prayer in the car on the way to school or work. It's giving the time that you have and allowing him to have that space rather than taking it for yourself. And even then, I feel like sometimes rest is whether you're in the middle of something and just consciously praying. I think that's something that he has been teaching me, is that it doesn't have to be a time when you're alone and a time when you're not busy, but it can be in the middle of class. It can be in the middle of your job. And even if it's just a quick, like, Lord, help me be present. Help me be mindful of who I'm with. Let me be a light in this workplace. I think it doesn't necessarily have to be by yourself and in complete silence.
That's good.
And I admire you for learning that at a young age, because I probably carried that on into work from the standpoint of staying busy all the time. I don't have time to do this, and really setting aside the time for the Lord the way I should have. I didn't do always during my work years, and I worked 40 years. So I really admire that you learned that at such a young age, and I encourage you to carry that on into your work environment, because sometimes your work environment can become just an extension of what you've described your college environment to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the thing you look back over and say, if I could have done it differently, that's definitely one of the things I would have done. And being retired 10 years, I've said there's definitely more time now to set aside to, you know, pray and to read your Bible. And so my husband and I look back over our years and just cherish these 10 years we've had for retirement and the things that we're doing. But we get up in the morning, he with a cup of coffee, me with a cup of tea, and go sort of to different places in the house and have our own quiet time, our prayer time. I have done the Tara Lee Cobble Read the Bible Through for 3 years, and this year I'm listening to Jackie Hill Perry Read the Bible Through. So I do that, and then I have a prayer time. And then I'm also involved, and this has made a big impact on my life, in a prayer group on Monday mornings. We used to meet at the church until COVID, and after COVID, we've decided Zoom was so much more convenient that we Zoom. And there's just four of us, three women and a man, and it could be two of us, or this week it was all four of us. And that has really made a huge impact on my life, because these people are true prayer warriors. And I first was intimidated, like, you know, because everybody prays out loud on the call. And you learn, you know, God calls us to do things differently. He doesn't call us all to be just alike. And so, but that's been a real positive for me, and things that I wish I had started earlier in my life.
I think it's interesting when we talk about rest, because I tend to think about rest as being sort of no responsibilities, no obligations, or nowhere I need to be. And rest isn't always, it's like Rain said, a lot of times you can be active, mm-hmm. and either Christ meets you with a scripture, or he somehow helps you see that I'm with you even though you're in the middle of something busy. And so I'm always curious what it means, what it feels like, what it looks like for different people to rest, because I do think it looks different.
And I also was thinking, as both of you were talking about your restless spot, yours in a hospital room and yours being able to come before the Lord in your living room on a Saturday morning, but how both of you did mention physical rest. like it required an intentional with your body. Mm-hmm. And then for you, Marilyn, it was like the Lord provided people to just mm-hmm. pour into you and over you to allow you to have some like true rest. And then for you, it really was like space away from people because you're like, it's just so neat how even the rest, we think of spiritual rest and coming before the Lord, but even all the other ways that we can rest mentally and physically, those are also from Him. And that was resonating as y'all were speaking.
So. Also, before we leave rest, I liked what Marilyn said about, you know, looking back, she saw all these people and all the ways they had ministered to her. And I do think it often, when we do look back, we can see mm-hmm. where Christ has met us and given us rest, even when we didn't realize it at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that you wouldn't have had the same reaction to that had you not had the history and the relationship with these people that you had worked mm-hmm. with. So that's always so interesting to be able to look back and see, oh, that was God. Oh, that was God. Oh, and guess what? That was God.
And I love that the places that both of you said were not right here where we are, mm-hmm. which is in the church. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, we are prepping up, but we're walking out of here. And that's what, as I think about now, we're shifting from restless, but to walking forward or out of rest and walking into the living and active word of God in your life. Like, what does that look like? How would you describe just confidence in doing that in the here and now?
Well, I think I mentioned, you know, being able to get up in the morning and reading God's word and praying. But also, you know, over the years, the friends that we have been able to develop here. And like you said, being here 50 years, there were a lot of friends that have ministered to us, and we try to, I guess as a result of seeing how people I thought did it well, when I needed help, has been an influence on me to try to do it well for others, whether it be service, whether it be prayer. When I had breast cancer 10 years ago, there was a lady that I've always described as a mentor to me. I did tell her that one time, but she's been in this church for many years. We taught preschool together, and she's just an example of one of the finest Christian women I've ever met. And so I do look to people like that in our church. Now I'm one of the older ones, but, you know, there are still people that I look to. Kristen, I mean, I look at you and I look at your mother and the examples that you all have set for us as women and how we can use what we see because we know it's based on your relationship with God and carry those kind of things forward to help other people.
I think in a similar way, I've grown up at Dawson my whole life, have continued to go to college ministry throughout my college years, and I think it's really neat to see the way that I have been poured into, as Marilyn was saying, over the years, and it has been by literally hundreds of different people, whether that be volunteers or Sunday school leaders or ministers. They have all taught the gospel and lived the gospel, and I think it's interesting that the seasons of my life have looked a lot different in different stages, but the word of God has remained the same. And those people have shown that, whether that be through their words or their actions. And I think that has subconsciously helped me to believe in the truth of the gospel and the truth of the word, that even as the seasons of my life change and the people that are ministering to me have changed, the message remains the same. And I think that has given me the confidence to go out as I leave the church, whether that be on a Sunday morning, and go throughout my week to proclaim it as I have seen it in the church. And that has looked different in different areas of my life. I mean, the summer is one of the first times I've worked in a place that's full of non-believers and full of people who are proclaiming Christianity but aren't truly living it. And so I feel like the foundation that I have formed and been given through my church community has given me the courage to live that out in areas where people don't necessarily experience the same thing growing up.
I think one of the things as a parent that I have loved about Dawson is that it gives me as a parent other people who maybe won't use the same words that I would use and maybe won't have exactly the same perspective, but when they speak into my children's lives, they're speaking basically with the Word of God as the foundation. The other thing that I appreciate about Dawson so much is that we're not expected to just hear Scripture. We're expected to really embody that. And like Rain said, you know, she's had lots of biblical-based teaching, but she's also had lots of opportunities to turn that around and share it with other people.
One of the things I've really enjoyed about our table group, we have a multi-generational table group, and so we have some college students. And this year, I think we're probably going to have even a couple of more college students because one of them graduated this year. But for those different generations to be together for the same purpose, and we're talking about, actually this past year, we used the Everywhere You Are as our basis for our study each month. And so one of our members actually created questions around the Everywhere You Are podcast, told us which ones to listen to and all. And so it's really neat to see college students, as I was talking about with Rains, that are so deep into God's Word, and to hear the discussion from all those generations that are based on the same truth.
What a gift it is to know that there are people in other ages that you know, can go to in any moment.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say that the things that you have been describing, whether it's been the walking in it, living it out, whether it's the rest and sitting, but how is doing life together with the people around you impacting your growth spiritually?
I would say, you know, one of the things is we've aged, and many of our friends are retired. Not all of them. Some of them said this week, one of them said she'd be carried out on a stretcher before she retired. But is the non-hesitancy to pick up the phone and ask for prayer, you know, or even in our prayer group, just some of the deeply personal things that we are willing to share with one another because we know it's confidential, and to pray for one another. I will say the thing I still struggle with on the prayer is the list gets longer and longer every day. And I've read things about how you could divide your prayer list up over the days. And I think, well, this is important every day, you know. So sometimes the prayer list gets longer and longer. But just the ability to do that with one another has definitely helped me grow. And then our table group has. I would say the other thing, and I bet Rains will ditto this, is sanctuary choir. For her, it would have been high school choir. But the Bible verses that I've learned, you know, a lot of the Bible verses I may know today are from songs we've sung because I've been in the choir for a long time, or songs that the chapel ensemble or the chapel choir has sung. Those things, to me, have made a big impact on our growth, because John, our minister of music and worship, I'm sure it's the same with all the choirs he leads, he never lets you forget why you're there. And it's not to sing a pretty song, but it's to worship our Lord and to point others to him, so that when we're singing on Sunday morning, it's not a performance, but it's about pointing people to Jesus Christ. And those kind of things have all been a very positive influence on my growth.
I wholeheartedly agree with choir. I mean, John does a wonderful job of truly reminding, whether it's the adults or the students, that like our song is not a performance, it's worship and it's an offering to the Lord. And like Marilyn said, it's not just singing a pretty song, it's not having a concert on choir tour, it's ministering to others the way that we have been ministered to in learning those songs. I just thought of a quote, you become like the people you hang out with, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I really see that just in college. I know I keep coming back to college, but it's a time when you're just surrounded constantly by your peers and by students your age. I'm living in a dorm this fall, so we'll be living with 70 of my closest friends. But I find that quote is really true of, like, you really do become like the people that you spend the most of your time with. And I find that I feel like I desire a relationship with the Lord most when I am spending time with people that are unapologetically committed to walking with Jesus. And of course, that sounds so simple when you say it out loud, but when you are living it, you don't always necessarily see it like that. But I think about my roommates and my friends within my sorority, and I find myself wanting to be more like Christ when I'm with them, because they are more like Christ and they are pursuing a relationship with Jesus. And it empowers me to want to walk in the same way and not be like them, but be like Christ in them.
And I was just having a conversation with somebody yesterday in another meeting about that very thing, the power of influence, but talking about the pull is very real of these other options. So you talk about being with your roommates or other people around you who are speaking life and encouraging you to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. So what are just some ways, like, that you could say are just simple, maybe still simple, but also intentionally, like, what does that look like in real life?
I think the thing over the years, that this is going to sound very simple, but, you know, gossip is a real thing regardless of your age. And I've really prayed a lot about being an example there. And I think where I struggle is I don't struggle with trying to stop something. It's sometimes more about how I may do that. Like, if I feel like somebody has said something that's inappropriate or we need to stop that conversation as a group, I'm not fearful of saying something. But then a lot of times that just shuts things down as opposed to really talking about why we need to do it. So I think being more intentional about saying, hey, you know, as an example of Christ, we shouldn't be, you know, I don't want to put somebody down per se.
Right. What are some holy habits that you have that, I mean, that's a funny way to say kind of daily practices or weekly practices or whatever. What does that look like?
I think for me, the most effective way to spend time with the Lord is in the morning. I mean, obviously it's right when you wake up, and that's the time when there are the least amount of things competing for my attention. And I often find that when I spend the morning or first thing in the Word, I find that I carry that with me throughout my day rather than go throughout my day and then be in the Word in the evening. I know that works for some people, but I've tried it both ways, and it impacts me more when I spend time in the Word in the morning. So I think that's one thing that I've really developed as a spiritual discipline in my life is to start my days in the Word and in prayer. And even if that's just listening to worship music on my way to work or just sitting in silence and praying in the car, I think just starting my day off in that way sets a foundation for the day. It puts me in a mindset to be thinking of the things of the Lord throughout the day rather than trying to squeeze it in later.
I would agree with what you're saying in terms of, for me personally anyway, of the getting up in the mornings. I never thought I was a morning person, and then I started exercising, and I realized, you know, particularly at this time of the year, if you're going to exercise outside, it's going to be early in the morning, so it's not uncommon that we're up at 5 or 5:30. And so the first thing we do is, like I said, go sort of to a different room for each of us and spend time praying and either doing a devotional or Bible reading. But I've also found when I do walk outside, sometimes if I want to get out of the door quickly, I will have my prayer time while I'm walking. And inevitably, if you're walking through Homewood or probably any of the communities around here, it's hard not to be overwhelmed by God's creation and the beauty that we are so fortunate to live in this part of the South, even. And so that even puts me in the right mindset to even pray more, to thank God for His creation and all He's done for us and me and my husband and that really makes a difference. I agree too. It makes a difference to start the day that way.
I mean, I think it's important to reemphasize that it's a spiritual discipline. I mean, it's prayer and getting in the Word is not something that comes naturally to us. I mean, we are so much more inclined to scroll on our phones or to watch TV because it doesn't require anything of us. But that's one of the parts about discipline, is that it takes being consistent and it takes our energy and our thoughts. And I think that's something that comes most naturally to most people in the morning, and you're able to offer the first fruits of your day, which will then, you will see the effects of that throughout your day.
And it's also a choice, you know. Mm-hmm. I can pick up my phone first thing in the morning and check the news, or I can pick up my phone and turn on worship music.
Which she does a lot.
Which I do. Or here's a shocker. I cannot pick up my phone first thing, you know, and nobody else is going to make that choice for you. You've got mm-hmm. to decide this is, and I think one of the things that keeps coming up in all the different ways we're talking is intentionality. I have to choose to pray. I have to choose to have a time. I have to choose to look in the Word. I have to choose community.
But, you know, even having this conversation with you all gives me thoughts and ideas too about how I might want to do things differently that would help me grow, you know. So I think having those conversations mm-hmm. with other people that, as Rains mentioned, are like-minded and talk about where your challenges are, those are things that will help give us the direction too that we need.
You know, I'm tempted to say, well, I don't have an hour. And I think God's like, I don't need an hour. Give me 5 minutes. Give me the 20 minutes you're on the treadmill. Give me, you know, this little pocket. And he honors that.
I feel like a lot of what we've talked about is flesh versus spirit. I mean, the things, we're embodied people. And there are things that we are created and allowed to do in this space. But the desire is to be more spirit-led than flesh-led. As we kind of do tie a bow on the package of this podcast episode, we must do so where we started, which is grounded in the Word. Is there at this time, like, favorite scripture or anything that stands out that you would like to share?
When I was diagnosed with breast cancer, there was a lady that went to this church. She had also had breast cancer, and she shared a verse that I don't think at that time I had read before, and it's Psalm 91:4, and it says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." I have clung to that verse so many times. But not only have I clung to it, I have shared it over and over when people are going through a time where I thought that would be helpful for them. I actually have had a very pretty sign made in our kitchen with the first part of that verse on it. And there are a lot of people that know that. It's even on my car tag. So that's a very special verse to me. And I would say that I'm going to let Rain sing this for us. But I mentioned Chapel Ensemble. They have a song that they sing at the end of their concert. And it's an old, old, old hymn, but it's been set to new music. And I just love it. And I have kept it on my Facebook page, and I've listened to it, and I've tried to get another copy of it. But it's the I am thine, O Lord. And it goes in, you know, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Do you want to sing the chorus, Rain? Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
It's a beautiful song that I will probably never forget the words to. It's something that Chapel Choir sings every summer at their home concert, and they invite all of the Chapel Choir alumni to come up and sing it with them. And it's so special to me to see every year how there seem to be more and more people who come and sing up on stage. And I had the privilege of doing that this summer. And it just always brings back really fond memories, but when you really think about the words of that song and think about drawing nearer to the Lord and abiding in him, it just makes you really, really grateful for the Lord and for the ways that He invites us into His presence, whatever that looks like in our lives.
I feel like Psalm 3:3 was just as we're wrapping up and closing what the Lord brought to my mind. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. And it is just a balm to my soul to read that right now and just to be able to reflect on the fact that He is so with us, and just continuing, like, to take, you know, our faces in His hand and just saying, look up. And I am beyond grateful to sit right here with these women who do that and point me to do the same. So thank you.
Wow. I loved what Marilyn shared about how she's learned to minister to others because of the ways others have ministered to her. And like Rains, may we all seek to be more like the Christ we see in like-minded people around us. Everywhere you are today, may you desire to sit with Jesus and hear exactly what He wants to say to you. Until next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of Everywhere You Are. Please rate and review us on your podcast platform and share us with other women that you think could benefit from hearing about God working in the lives of ordinary women. To learn more about the Dawson Family of Faith, please visit dawsonchurch.org and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We look forward to meeting you.